Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. Having heard Jesus' teaching with authority and having witnessed great miracles performed by him, the people wondered about this Jesus. Some thought him to be a second coming of John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or any number of the prophets. The disciples who had been with him every day were confident that he was much more than simply one of the prophets. Peter, speaking for them all, declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah promised by God to both deliver his people and to reign over them as king. Jesus is the Son of the living God. He is God the Father's Son. And Jesus blessed his disciples for this confession, noting that the only way that they could possibly know this was through divine revelation. In Matthew 16:17, Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And yet, while their flesh and blood could not reveal this to them, their flesh and blood could and did still hinder them at this time from what is an even greater truth. Jesus isn't only the Son of God. Jesus is God. After Christ's resurrection, ascension into heaven, and the day of Pentecost, Peter and the disciples' eyes were opened such that they could boldly proclaim to the very Jews who had killed Jesus in Acts 2:36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This Jesus, whom all the house of Israel had crucified, he wasn't just their Christ, their Messiah sent by God. He was also the Lord, the one true God. The very people who called themselves God's chosen had crucified God himself. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. This moment in Jesus' ministry foreshadowed the crucifixion. But what caused it? Two words: I am. Hidden within the question to the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" was the answer: I am. Both the question and the answer demand a response. You must deal with Jesus' claim to be God. In the words of C.S. Lewis, Jesus could be one of three things. He could be a liar, he could be a lunatic, or he really could be Lord. In the end, every man, woman, and child must answer this question for himself: who do you say that I am? Today, there are many who profess faith in God and at the same time stress the importance of Jesus, but deny that Jesus is God. Jehovah's Witnesses do this. Unitarians, even some Pentecostals. The Muslims will say that Jesus was a great prophet, but they will say he's not God. The Jews have less than no time for Jesus at all, with the Talmud crassly saying that he is in hell, undergoing disgusting punishments. The Athanasian Creed, which we recite today, was written against early professing Christians who did not believe that Christ was substantially God, but was instead a created being of first importance. But he was not God. And every single one of these people deny Christ's plain confession of himself. And Christ now asks each of this question, and he makes it easy because he gives us the answer at the same time. Who do you say that I am? He is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord. Is Christ really your Lord? The Jews have held from the first advent until this very day that Jesus was either a liar or a lunatic or both. John 8:48, the Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Now, why these particular accusations? Why would they bring these two things up? This is what you might call a sort of childish, "No, you are," response. Because these same men had asked Jesus, "Who are you?" And his lengthy answer can be summed up as, "I am the Father's Son," to which they responded, "No, we are." Earlier in verses 42 to 45, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." We should note what Jesus questions about them. He questions their true lineage, and he questions their true God. Yes, by blood they were Abraham's children, but they weren't by faith. Rejecting Jesus, they rejected God himself in alliance with their true spiritual father, Satan himself. And so the Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan, have a demon?" The Jews respond to Jesus with, "No, you are. You are not a true son of Abraham, and you have a demon." The Samaritans' heritage as Jews had been corrupted by intermarriage with the Assyrians, and the Samaritans also rejected Jerusalem as being the proper place of worship. So the Jews saw the Samaritans as half-breeds who didn't worship God rightly. And whether or not these Jews truly believed Jesus to be a Samaritan, his previous calling them into question sounded suspiciously Samaritan to them. And as to the demonic, well, he was doing mighty works that they couldn't explain. Matthew 12:24, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." So in other words, the Jews uno reversed both of Jesus' charges against them back to him. Jesus was no Lord, not even close, and far worse. Verses 49 to 51, Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." To honor the Father as God, one must honor Christ the Son as God. To dishonor the Son as God is to dishonor the Father as God. The Jews were dishonoring Christ and thereby dishonoring God. Not only does Jesus deny here that he is a demon, but he also accuses these Jews of blasphemy. For in accusing him of the demonic, they were also accusing God of the demonic. He did not say anything that he said in order to gain glory, yet he would ultimately receive it because the Father who sought it would receive it. He would receive glory because he and the Father, along with the Holy Spirit, are one in substance while in different persons. Their glory equal, their majesty co-eternal. And these Jews would face eternal condemnation in the judgment because by rejecting and attacking Jesus, they rejected and attacked God himself. But even now, Jesus offers to these blasphemers the opportunity to repent and believe if they would keep his word, which is not just intellectual agreement to his teaching, but also faith in him and its obedience to him. Their death would not lead to eternal death in the judgment, but instead to eternal life. John 11:25-26, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Now, could a created being who had been given life be the giver of life? The answer is no. The Father is Lord. The Son is Lord. The Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet, there is only one Lord who is the giver of life. And this infuriated the Jews, and they doubled down on their blasphemy in verses 52 and 53. The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Not only is this liar not God, he's a lunatic to suggest that he's greater than Abraham. Even to suggest that he was greater than even a lesser prophet was totally outrageous. Jesus had asked, "Who do you think that I am?" And the Jews spat out this question, "Who do you think you are?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word." Jesus answered, for starters, he says to these men, "If you think that this is about me, making myself more important than Abraham or more important than a prophet, let me tell you something. That's a non-issue. Why? Because I don't even need to make the effort. The glory is already mine by right, given by the very God of whom you say, that's our God. Except he's not, because you do not honor me. You do not know the true God. You are of your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and a liar, the father of your lies. That is your true God. I, however, know God. And to suggest otherwise would be to lie like you, to serve your false God. I know the Father, and I keep his word." This is the blunt, simple truth for them, but also for us. You cannot know God without Christ. I have known, and maybe you have known, many people who, in a conversation about faith, or maybe you've questioned them regarding their faith, have this ability to say something like, "I believe in God," but have no ability to discuss Christ or even mention his name. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed." And more importantly for this illustration, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Note the second part. No one can say Jesus is Lord. Now, I want you to understand what this Lord is in English. This Lord is not like a superior to me. This Lord is used in place of the name of God. No one can say Jesus is God except he be in the Holy Spirit. The Jews believe in God, so do demons. Only the twice born believe in Christ. When you're talking with someone who can talk about God, or they can talk about how they're going to have life in heaven with God without ever mentioning Christ's name, you are talking to someone who needs to repent and come to saving faith. You cannot know God without Christ, and you cannot know Christ without God's word. From Romans 10, bear with me, we're going to spend a little bit of time here, beginning with verse 9. "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The problem is not ethnicity. The problem lies in the next phrase. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Without Christ, you cannot be saved, no matter what you profess about God. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. To know God, you must know Christ. To know Christ, you must know the word of Christ. But I ask, Paul continues, have they not heard? Indeed they have. For the voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Who are these who are not a nation? Who is this foolish nation? He is talking about what we today call Gentiles, but Paul would have understood more specifically to be pagans. The pagan world around the Jews. The world outside of the nation state of Israel. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. The word of promise gives right knowledge of Christ, and Christ gives right knowledge of God. Abraham, whom the Jews claimed as their father, believed this exactly. John 8:56, Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Physically, these Jews descended from Abraham, but they were not of him. Because unlike them, Abraham rejoiced in the day of Christ while they rejected it. Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 and 9. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. There is no salvation except in Christ alone, given by God's grace alone and received by faith alone. This was the promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed this promise, and it was credited to him as righteousness before God. And the Jews' response to Jesus then and yes today could be summed up simply as, oh, come on. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Were these Jews anywhere near believing the word of Jesus? Not remotely. Before them stood a man in his early 30s, and they say, this guy says he's seen Abraham? This guy really is a lunatic. Because here's the thing, if you had seen Abraham, you'd be 2,000 years old. And listen to Jesus' response. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus' response to this challenge is, you're way off. You're off by infinity. Truly, truly, meaning not simply that this is a very true thing, but also that it is being spoken by the very originator of all truth. Spoken by the one who had firsthand knowledge of what he was about to say, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, I didn't just live before Abraham, I always was, and I always am, and I always will be, because I am. His response to them is to say, I'm God. And despite their professed love of God, how much did they actually love God? Verse 59. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. It was not yet time for Jesus to die for them. It was not yet time for Jesus to die for you or for me. So he did something that only God could do. He disappeared. Now, in light of the events of the last few days, there are some cultural, political, and religious ideas that we as Christians must excise from our thinking. You've heard of the Abrahamic religions. The three so-called Abrahamic religions do not share the same God. It's not the same God. There can be no such thing as shared Judeo-Christian values when Jews and Christians don't share the same God. And God's chosen people are and have always been a people of faith in Christ, not a bloodline nor a nation state. There is zero difference between being the chosen people of the Old Testament and the elect people of the New Testament. Chosen and elect mean the same exact thing. And the chosen and the elect all share one thing in common, and it is Jesus Christ our Lord. And those who will not keep Christ's word in faith and obedience are neither chosen nor elect. There will be many on that day who will say, Lord, Lord, who will then hear the words of our King, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There will be many on that day before the throne who will say, but I believe in God. But what does James tell us? The demons believe in God and they shudder. Christ asks this question of you today. Who do you say that I am? And he's made it real easy because he gave you the answer. Do you believe him? Christ is either a liar or a lunatic, or he is Lord. Is he your Lord? Amen.